Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Gracious, the Ever Merciful. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise is due to Allah, the Lord, Protector, Sustainer, and Provider for all of the creation. Wa salatu wa salamu ala afdalil anbiya'i. And may Allah raise the rank of and grant peace to the most virtuous of all of the prophets, Nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in, our Prophet Muhammad, and likewise that of his family and companions, all of them in entirety. Amma ba'd, as for what follows, we thank Allah Ta'ala for gathering us here at Al Masjid Al Awwal, the city of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, in this our second part of our fourth session, out of eight sessions in tafsir of Surah Qaf by the great scholar Al-Allama Muhammad ibn Salih Al-Uthaymeen. May Allah Ta'ala have an abundance of mercy upon him. After our first part of this fourth session, we have reached the statements of Allah Ta'ala, wa ashabul ayka, and the people of the woods. Ashabul ayka, يعني الشجرة, the people of the trees, or the tree. أرسل الله تعالى إليهم شعيبا. Allah the Most High sent the Prophet Shu'aib to them. فدعاهم إلى الله. So Shu'aib called them to Allah, meaning to the worship of Allah. وذكرهم به. He reminded them of Allah. وحذرهم من بخس المكيال والميزان. And he warned them against mistreating the scale and the volumetric measurements, meaning being unjust in the way they dealt in the marketplace. ولكنهم ولعاذ بالله. However, they, and refuge with Allah is sought, بقوا على كفرهم وعنادهم. They remained upon their disbelief and their arrogance, their arrogant rejection. فأخذهم عذاب يوم الظلة. And so the day of the great clouding overtook them. وَهَذَا الْعَذَابُ. And this punishment, يُقَالُ, it's been said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى أَرْسَلَ إِلَيْهِمْ حَرًّا شَدِيدًا. That Allah sent upon them a great heat wave, a severe heat wave. وَلَمْ يَجِدُوا مَفَرًّا مِنْهُ. And they found no refuge from this heat. إِلَّا أَنَّهُ أُرْسِلَتْ غَمَامَةً وَاسِعَةٌ. Except that a tremendous cloud was sent, that which clouded and covered them. بَارِدَةً. It was cool. فَصَارُوا يَتَدَافَعُونَ إِلَى ظِلِّهَا. So they all gathered, looking for space under this cloud. يَتَظَلَّلُونَ بِهَا. So as to take shade under this cloud. فَأَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ نَارًا فَأَحْرَقَتْهُمْ. And then Allah sent down upon them fire and burned them. وَفِي هَذَا يَقُولُ تَعَالَى. And regarding this, Allah the Most High has said, فَكَذَّبُوهُ فَأَخَذَهُمْ عَذَابُ يَوْمِ الظُّلَّةِ. They rejected him, and so they were taken by the punishment of the day of the cloud. إِنَّهُ كَانَ عَذَابَ يَوْمٍ عَظِيمٍ. It was the punishment of indeed a tremendous day. وَقَوْمُ تُبَّعْ. And also the people of تُبَّعْ. أَيْضًا. Also مِنْ مَنْ كَذَّبُوا الرُّسُلُ. They are also from those who rejected the messengers. وَهُمْ أَصْحَابُ تُبَّعْ. They were the people of تُبَّعْ. Who is تُبَّعْ? وَهُوَ مَلِكٌ مِنْ مُلُوكِ الْيَمَنِ. A king from the old kings of Yemen. أَرْسَلَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِمْ رَسُولًا فَكَذَّبُوهُ. Allah sent them a messenger, and they disbelieved in him. وَلَمْ يَنْقَادُوا لَهُ. And they refused to submit in obedience to him. فَيَقُولُ عَزَّ وَجَلُ. So Allah the Mighty and Majestic said, كُلٌ كَذَّبَ الرُّسُولَ. All of those nations, all of those people, disbelieved in the messengers. فَحَقَّ وَعِيدٌ. so they were overtaken by, in truth or deservingly, taken by the promised punishment, the wa'id. That's the 14th verse of Qaf. أي أن هؤلاء, this means that such people, الأمم الذين أشار الله تعالى إلى قصصهم, that such people, these earlier nations whom Allah alluded to, their stories, كلهم كذبوا الرسل, all of them rejected the messengers. فحق عليهم وعد الله, so the promise of Allah actualized upon them, became a reality upon them. وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ, and refuge is sought with Allah. بِعَذَابِهِ وَانْتِقَامِهِ, and he overtook them with his punishment. The Shaykh then said here, what is not in the transcripted published books, but it's very important for us. He said, نَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ لَنَا وَلَكُمُ الْحِمَايَةَ وَالْعَافِيَةَ إِنَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. He said in the original recordings, which these books are transcripts from, he made a dua saying, we ask Allah for us and for you. Lana wa lakum. And this is so important to us because these are our ulama. We don't want to be uninformed that they are making dua for themselves and for us, their readers, and those who would study from their teachings. We ask Allah for us and for you, al-himaya, protection, wal-afiyah, safety and security. He is above all things, all powerful. We say Ameen. We ask Allah Ta'ala for safety and protection for our Shaykh, Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih al-Uthaymeen, in the hereafter. أَفَعَيِّنَا بِالْخَلْقِ الْأَوَّلِ. Then we go on to read from the statement of Allah. Is it that we have become tired, fatigued from the first creation? Rhetorical question being offered here for anyone who has any amount of respect, veneration, or honor for his Lord and Creator. Is it that we have become tired and fatigued from the first creation? Meaning that we can't bring mankind back because we're tired from the creation, from creating them the first time. بَلْ هُمْ فِي لَبْسٍ مِنْ خَلْقٍ جَدِيدٍ. Rather, they are in a state of confusion regarding this new creation, meaning the recreation of mankind, the bringing back of mankind after their death. الاستفهام هنا للنفي. The question being asked here is a rhetorical question, and it is to negate the concept. You say in your regular speech, do you think I'm a fool? When you're trying to show someone that you're not a fool, you say, do you think I'm a fool? Do you think I'm going to buy that? And the meaning is, I'm not buying that. I am not a fool. But you ask the question, it's a rhetorical question which gives that impression. Here is a rhetorical question. Is it that we have become fatigued from creating the first creation? And of course the answer is, of course, Allah Azza wa Jal, the Majestic, All-Powerful, All-Capable, Creator, is not tired or fatigued. وَأَعِينَا هُنَا بِمَعْنَا تَعِبْنَا. The word أَعِينَا has the meaning of ta'ibna, from a ta'ab. Someone is ta'ban, tired, fatigued. وَالْخَلْقُ الْأَوَّلُ, the first creation, هُوَ ابْتِدَاءُ الْخَلَائِقِ, it is the beginning of all of the creations. يعني, هَلْ نَحْنُ عَجَزْنَا عَنْ ابْتِدَاءِ الْخَلَائِقِ حَتَّى نَعْجَزَ عَنْ إِعَادَةِ الْخَلَائِقِ. Were we incapable of creating the first creation, making the people in the very first creation, so that we would be incapable of bringing them back? من المعلوم أن الجواب لا. It's clearly known here that the answer is no, of course not. كما قال تعالى, as Allah the Most High has said, أولم يروا أن الله الذي خلق السماوات والأرض ولم يعي بخلقهن. Do they not see that Allah is the one who created the heavens and the earth and did not tire from creating them? From Surah Al-Ahqaf. أي لم يتعب بذلك. He did not tire or fatigue from that. فإذا كان الله جل وعلا لم يتعب بالخلق الأول. If it's the case that Allah, the Majestic and Most High, did not tire or fatigue from the first creation, ف فإن إعادة الخلق أهون من ابتدائه. Then bringing or restoring the creation back to its original state is easier than initiating it from nothing. كما قال تعالى, just as Allah, the Most High, has said, هو الذي يبدأ الخلق ثم يعيده. He is the one who began the creation, and then after that he shall return it. From Surah Ar-Rum, the first verse. وهذا الاستدلال, and this angle of proof, عقلي, is intellectual. يراد به إقناع هؤلاء الجاحدين لإعادة الخلق. It is intended to give some type of understanding or give some type of reassurance to those people who reject the resurrection of the creation. فَإِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا زَعَمُوا أَن لَن يُبْعَثُوا. Because surely the people who disbelieve, they have assumed they are not going to be resurrected. وَأَنَّهُ لَا بَعْثَ, and that there is no such thing as a resurrection. وَأَنْكَرُوا هَذَا, and they rejected this. وَاسْتَدَلُّوا لِذَلِكَ بِدَلِيلٍ وَاهٍ, and they used as proofs to reject the resurrection evidences which are false and delusional evidences. جِدًّا, very delusional, very fake. فَقَالُوا فِيمَا حَكَاهُ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ, they said, in what Allah Ta'ala has quoted them saying, مَنْ يُحْيِي الْعِظَامَ وَهِيَ رَمِيمٌ, who is it that's going to bring back these bones, or bring back the dead, bring back the bones, and they are rameem, they are scattered and tossed about. They are disassembled and scattered in disarray. From Surah Yasin, the 78th verse. فقال الله تعالى, so then Allah said in the next verse, قُلْ يُحْيِيهَا الَّذِي أَنْشَأَهَا أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ, say, O Muhammad, the one who will bring them back to life is the one who created them the very first creation, or the very first time. وَهُوَ بِكُلِّ خَلْقٍ عَلِيمٍ, and he is regarding every single creation all knowledgeable. ثُمَّ سَاقَ الْأَدِلَّةَ الْأَقْلِيَّةِ, then Allah Ta'ala mentioned a number of rational arguments. أَدَّالَةَ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَىٰ قَادِرٌ, those that prove that Allah the Most High is fully capable. عَلَىٰ أَن يُحْيِيَ الْعِظَامَ وَهِيَ رَمِيمٌ, fully capable of bringing bones back to life after they have become scattered about. قال تعالى, Allah the Most High has said, بَلْ هُمْ فِي لَبْسٍ مِنْ خَلْقٍ جَدِيدٍ, rather they are in confusion. They are in a state of confusion regarding this new creation, meaning the resurrection. أَيْ هُمْ مُقِرُّونَ بِأَنَّنَا لَمْ نَعِيِ بِالْخَلْقِ الْأَوَّلِ, meaning they acknowledge that we have not become fatigued from the first creation. This is something that they acknowledge. وَأَنَّا أَوْجَدْنَاهُ, and that we have brought it about, meaning the first creation, the first time. لَكِنْ هُمْ فِي لَبْسٍ مِنْ خَلْقٍ جَدِيدٍ, however, they are in a state of confusion about another new creation. وَلِهَذَا حَصَلَ الْإِضْرَابُ هُنَا, and that's why the idrab is being used. That's that Arabic technique of beginning the sentence with the word what? Bal. Bal is for idrab, right? A change of subject or a shift in subject that either comes with a cancellation or a negation of what was mentioned. That's called idrabu ibtal, eh? Or ibtali. Good. And then you have the other one called idrabu intiqali. Aywa, idrabun intiqali. It means to shift the subject without negating what was mentioned before. So we look to this one. Bal is this idrabu ibtal or idrabu intiqal. And if you don't understand this discussion, allow it to pass over your head, as it's an advanced Arabic language discussion. And we'll get back to what the majority of the listeners would understand in just a moment, insha'Allah ta'ala. It's important in this lesson there are matters that are connected to middle-level Arabic fluency and advanced-level Arabic fluency. So if you sit for this lesson, allow yourselves periods of 5-10 minutes for something to be mentioned, and you say, well, this is not for me, this point here. Yeah? And don't be discouraged, and don't lose yourselves at this time. ولهذا حصل الإضراب هنا حيث قال بل هم It is not the case, and rather instead it is they who are confused. So it is إبطال, huh? يعني أن هذا عجب or عجب من حالهم. This astonishment from them and their situation. كيف يقرون بأول الخلق. How would they acknowledge the very first creation? ثم ينكرون البعث بعد الموت. And then they deny the resurrection after death. بل هم في لبس. Rather, on the other hand, or yet it is they who are in a state of confusion. أي في شك, in doubt, and تردد, wavering. من خلق جديد, from a new creation. هو إعادة الخلق. It is to bring back the creation, the resurrection. والقادر على ابتداء الخلق يكون قادرا على إعادته من باب أولى. So the one who initiated the creation, meaning from nothing, then he is fully capable of bringing that same creation back from bones and from things that remain. من باب أولى. This is an intellectual discussion that what? If Allah Ta'ala created mankind from nothing, with no assistance, then why would He be incapable of bringing them back, and there are substances and remains that are left over from them? Wouldn't that be easier? Reassembling is easier than the initial creation of the thing in the first place. Reassembling is easier than initial creation. وهذا دليل عقلي. This is a rational proof. لا يمكن لأي إنسان أن يفر منه. No rational person can escape it. No one can run away from this argument. ثم قال عز وجل مستدلا على قدرته على البعث. Then Allah the Mighty and Majestic said, proving His capability to bring the creation back. ولقد خلقنا الإنسان. Verily we have created mankind. يعني ابتدأنا خلقه. The meaning of that is we have initiated the very first creation of mankind. وأوجدناه, and we brought him about. وجعلنا له عقلا, we have made for him عقل, intellect. وسمعا, and hearing, faculties. وبصرا, and eyesight. وتفكيرا, and rational thought. وحديثاً للنفس, and internal discussions, whisperings that go on within himself. This is a beautiful way that the Shaykh goes with his tafsir right into the next verse. Because then Allah Ta'ala says, وَنَعْلَمُ, and we know, مَا تُوَسْوِسُ بِهِ نَفْسُهُ, and we know the internal discourse going on within himself. يعني ونحن نعلم ما توسوس به نفسه, and we also know what his soul whispers to him. كلمة وسوس, it's one of those words like دك دك and زلزلة. They come like that, two letters repeated, and it's a four-letter verb. زلزلة, دك دك, حم حما, وسوس, and from that is الوسواس. The one who is constantly doing the waswasa. And if you think now, like we have in English the word whisper. Whisper. The word whisper sounds like a whispering. Whisper. Whisper. Like that. Waswas. Think of the Arabic word waswas. Waswas, waswas. Sounds like the actual whispering. And I mentioned to you before, you have zalzala. Words that have a connection, the sound of the word is connected to the actual sound it makes. Daq daqa. The ham hama. I've mentioned to you the ham hama before. What's a ham hama? You remember, Nafis? Ham hama. You know Abdul Qawi. What's a hamhama? What animal makes a hamhama sound? Hamham. A zebra? Maybe. Yeah, maybe a zebra might do that sometimes. But a horse. So the horse does the hamhama sound. So the word is what? Waswasa. Allah Ta'ala knows what? The soul to waswisu. And we seek refuge from al-waswas al-khannas. Alladhi yuwaswisu fi sudur al-nas. The one who whispers into the chests of the people. So Allah Ta'ala knows what? The waswasa. Ay ma tuhadithuhu bihi nafsuh. The things that his soul talks to him about. Duna an yantiqa bihi. Without him ever having verbally expressed those things. Allah Ta'ala knows them. فَاللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَالِمٌ بِهِ. Allah knows about all of that. بَلْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَالِمٌ بِمَا سَيُحَدِّثُ بِهِ نَفْسُهُ فِي الْمُسْتَقْبَلِ. Even more so, Allah knows about the things, the matters that a person's soul will address him with or whisper to him with in the future. وَالْإِنسَانُ نَفْسُهُ لَا يَعْلَمُ مَا يُحَدِّثُ بِهِ نَفْسُهُ فِي الْمُسْتَقْبَلِ. And a person doesn't even know what kind of whisperings he's going to have internally in the future. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ مَا تُوَسْوِسُ بِهِ نَفْسُكَ غَدًا وَبَعْدَ غَدٍ. Allah knows what your soul is going to whisper to you tomorrow and after tomorrow. وَإِلَىٰ أَن تَمُوتُ. And all the way until you die. وَأَنْتَ لَا تَعْلَمُ. And you don't know those matters. وَإِذَا كَانَ اللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ مَا تُوَسْوِسُ بِهِ النَّفْسُ. So if it's the case that Allah knows what a person's soul whispers to him, فَهَذَا الْعِلْمُ يُوجِبُ لَنَا مُرَاقَبَةَ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. Then that knowledge, knowing about his knowledge that it is of that level, that requires us then to be more concerned and conscious of Allah, the Exonerated and Most High. وَأَلَّا نُحَدِّثُ أَنفُسَنَا. And that we do not speak to ourselves. We do not have internal discourse with ourselves. We don't develop ideas internally and contemplate and think about things voluntarily. مِمَّا يُغْضِبُهُ وَمِمَّا يَكْرَهُ. From matters that anger him and that he detests. فَعَلَيْنَا أَن يَكُونَ حَدِيثُ نُفُوسِنَا كُلُّهُ بِمَا يُرْضِيهِ. So upon us is that the speech that goes on internally with us, our internal discourses, all of that must be matters that he is pleased with. لِأَنَّهُ يَعْلَمُ ذَلِكَ. Because he knows about that. أَفَلَا يَلِيقُ بِنَا أَن نَسْتَحْيَا مِن رَبِّنَا. Is it not befitting for us that we are shameful, shy, and bashful regarding our Lord? Azza wa Jal, the Mighty and Majestic. There's a printing mistake there. It says Nastahiyya with an alif. It should be Nastahiyya with a fatha on the second ya. Sahihu. And to waswisa nufusuna bima la yardahu. Shouldn't we be ashamed of allowing ourselves to go on with internal discourse regarding matters that Allah Ta'ala is not pleased with? وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبَلِ الْوَرِيدِ. حَال, جُمْلَةْ حَال. Whilst Allah is closer to him, meaning to mankind, than his own jugular vein. حَبَلُ الْوَرِيدِ هُوَ الْأَوْدَاجِ. Is the veins on the side of the neck, the ones that carry the greatest amount of blood, the jugular veins. وَهُمَا الْعِرْقَانِ الْعَظِيمَانِ المحيطاني بالحلقوم. They are the two big, large veins. It's called in Arabic al-awdaj. That's the plural of wadj. Wadj. These two large veins, right at the throat. يسمى الوريد. It's called the وريد in Arabic. وريد. ويسمى الوادج. It's called the wadj as well. The singular of awdaj. وجمعه awdaj. وَيُضْرَبُ الْمَثَلُ بِهِمَا فِي الْقُرْبِ. And it's used to talk about how close something is to you. As close as your jugular vein. أَقْرَبُ شَيْءٍ إِلَىٰ قَلْبِكَ هُوَ حَبْلُ الْوَرِيدِ. The closest thing to your heart is your jugular vein. هَذَا أَقْرَبُ مِنَ الْمُخْ. it's closer than even the brain. The jugular vein is closer to the heart than the brain. It should say أقربوا من المخ, not إلى المخ. Fix the printing. It should say what? هذا أقربوا من المخ. How are we making this correction? From the أصل. So put Al أصل, the original recording. The Shaykh said هذا أقربوا من المخ. That's closer than the brain. وأقربوا من كل شيء. It's closer than everything. فيه الحياة هما الوريدان. In that is the life of a person. That is the وريدان, the two jugular veins. واختلف المفسرون في قوله. And the scholars of tafsir have differed about the statement of Allah, ونحن أقرب إليه, and we are closer to Him. هل المراد قرب ذاته جل وعلا أو المراد قرب ملائكته. Is the intended meaning the closeness of His actual presence, or is it the closeness of His angels? You're looking strange, and you should look strange at this point, because the scholars don't differ about this matter. The scholars agree that it's not قُرْبُ ذَاتِهِ, that it's not that Allah's presence is close. The Shaykh, throughout his life and throughout all of his works, he had an error in the usage of the word that when he referred to Allah Ta'ala. And he later in his life retracted all of these statements. Right? It was brought to his attention by a virtuous scholar named Sheikh Hamoud al-Tuwayjiri. And he refuted him sternly on the issue of using the word that Allah is close to you by His that. And what he meant was, He's really close to you. He meant haqiqatan, and he explained it like that. After it was brought to the attention of our Shaykh here, he explained it. He said, what I intended by that, قُرْبُ that, and ma'iyatu that, He's with you with His actual presence, was not what the Hululiyya say. They say Allah is within His creation. And that's what it means when you say, He's close to you, bidatihi. He's close to you by His actual presence, His actual self. This is what the Hululiyya say. They are a deviant sect who say that Allah is within His creation. So he would use the word, but not agree with them in the concept. But he would use the word mistakenly. And he retracted it in a beautiful retraction, which is found connected to or in the back as an appendix of his great book called Al-Qawa'id Al-Muthla. He put in there a published article that he made in response to Shaykh Hamoud al-Tawajiri's refutation of him. And Ibn Taymin was a beautiful man of the Sunnah, and he showed us how to retract an error. He became a great example of how you retract an error. Shaykh Hamoud al-Tawajiri wrote a book against Ibn Uthaymeen, over 100 pages. Called him throughout the book, Sahib al-Qawl al-Batil. Called him the one with the false statement throughout the book. Very harsh in its wording. And the excuse for Shaykh Hamoud, rahimahullah, was that the mistake is a serious one. And this is how the ulama of Ahl Sunnah are. This kind of mistake is that big? Sometimes they would say, لَا يَنْبَغِي لِمِثْلِهِ. Someone like him should not be erring like this. And there would be some harshness in the tone. And there was harshness in the tone. And that harshness led Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen to understand exactly what the problem was, to accept it from him, to thank him, to publish his book with the introduction of Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih al-Uthaymeen in front of the introduction. No class remains now between those two great scholars on that issue. It was a matter of one of them erring with an expression and the other one correcting him. The one who erred returned to the truth and thanked the one who corrected him. While there was of course a struggle and a bit of fitna and a bit of a clashing between the students and something that must take place. However, the end result is what? The mistakes of Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen are known to be corrected. He issued a very clear, a very exemplary clarification about the statements that he made. And he said, may Allah reward Shaykh Hamoud for his refutation. And what I said was batil, what I said was falsehood. And no matter who said it, it must be refuted. And so he supported the writings of Shaykh Hamoud al-Tawajiri against his own self. And this is what it means to be an adherent to the truth. When you find out that you are wrong, you retract what you have said that is wrong. And you adopt what your advisor has shown you. And what you have been led to understand is now what is correct regarding what you used to say. You don't have a problem with that. May Allah Ta'ala make us like our ulama. And it only increased the ummah in love for Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen. Here's a mistake. He admits the mistake. He publishes his admittance to the mistake and a warning against his previous usages of those words. And the ummah loves him more. It didn't decrease his status at all. What are these people afraid of? All these people who don't want to admit they're mistaken. They don't want to clarify errors that they've corrupted in the religion. Seeking what? They don't want to lose the status in the eyes of the people. This is what they're afraid of. Fear Allah and worry about your correctness with Allah. And then when you do that, Allah will preserve your reputation with the people. Allah will raise you above what you used to be because of your adherence to the truth and your humility and your humbleness and your acceptance of the truth when it is found to be in opposition to what you used to say. What a great example. We don't mention this except as respect and love that we have for our Shaykh in a mistake that he made. We don't want anyone to be confused by the wording, because the Shaykh has distanced himself from the wording, the usage of the word that, his actual presence. And then he mentions here, وَالصَّحِيحُ, and what is correct, أَنَّ الْمُرَادُ قُرْبُ مَلَائِكَتِهِ. What is correct is the closeness of his angels. And here is ta'wil, to explain the closeness of Allah. That Allah has said, وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ, and we are closer to him than his own jugular vein. It is ta'wil to say the meaning of nahnu is the angels of Allah. Right? It's a kind of ta'wil. However, it has its dalil, it has its evidence. It has a very firm and solid contextual evidence, as you'll see the Shaykh explaining. وَوَجْهُ ذَلِكَ, and the way we understand that is أَنَّ قُرْبَ اللَّهِ, at the closeness of Allah Ta'ala, the Most High, صِفَةٌ عَالِيَةٌ, it is a great high attribute. Here if we say the Qurbullah bin Nasr with Ta'eed, the Ma'iyya Khasa, the special way that we say Inna Allaha ma'as sabirin, Allah is with those who are patient. He's with them in a way he's not with the impatient. He's with the believers in a way he's not with the disbelievers. What's that withness, the Ma'iyya in Arabic? What does that mean? It's with ta'yid and nasr, giving victory to them, supporting them, strengthening them, providing them with what they need in their time of need. So that's the closeness of Allah, that is what? It's khasa, ma'iyatullah al-khasa. Then there's a ma'iyya, a general sense or a general concept of Allah being with everyone. There is no gathering of three, except that Allah is the fourth. Through what? Through His hearing, His seeing and His knowledge of their affairs. Not bidatihi, not through His actual presence. And the passages all contain clear references to His knowledge of their affairs, His seeing and His hearing. You don't find any passage where the context is the actual presence of Allah Himself, but rather His awareness, His knowledge, His seeing and His hearing. So here the ma'iyya, when we say qurb, qurb is a kind of ma'iyya, closeness. It's a kind of being with someone. Qareebun, it's kind of like ma'a. He's with you, he's close to you, and so on. So the Shaykh was saying here, his argument was, closeness is an attribute that is not befitting, and takuna shamilatan li kulli insan. And if he means here, the closeness of giving victory to and supporting, then that is not befitting for each and every person. That is, for the believers. لِأَنَّنَا لَوْ قُلْنَا, if we were to say, أَنَّ الْمُرَادَ قُرْبُ ذَاتِ اللَّهِ لَكَانَ قَرِيبًا مِنَ الْكَافِرِ وَقَرِيبًا مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِ, if we were to say here that the meaning is the closeness of the actual presence of Allah, then His closeness would be there for the disbeliever and the believer equally. And again, the that and the actual presence, that whole issue has been retracted by the Shaykh. And he means the real closeness that is victory and assistance. That's what he later replaced his statement of that with. لِأَنَّهُ قَالَ, because Allah has said, خَلَقَنَا الْإِنسَانِ, the passage is about mankind, not about the believers. We've created al-insan, mankind. أي insan والمؤمن والكافر, mankind, that is believers and disbelievers. وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ, and we are closer to him. To who? To mankind. أي إِلَى هَذَا الْإِنسَانِ, this mankind. الذي خلقناه من حبل الوريد. We are closer to him, the one we have created, than his own jugular vein. فإذا قلنا الآية شاملة بدون ألف لام صحيح. It should not say الشاملة. فإذا قلنا الآية شاملة. It's correct on the board here in our PDF, but in the printed book it's not correct. It says الشاملة. If we said that al-aya is shamila, if we said the verse is comprehensive for all of mankind, believers and disbelievers, وَقُلْنَا أَنَّ الْقُرْبَ هُنَا الْقُرْبُ الذَّاتِ, and if we said as well the closeness here means the closeness of the actual presence of Allah, again recanted and retracted by the Shaykh, صَارَ اللَّهُ قَرِيبًا بِذَاتِهِ مِنَ الْكَافِرِ, this would mean that Allah is close by His actual presence to a kafir, وَهَذَا غَيْرُ لَائِقْ, and this is unbefitting. And if we were to adjust his statement here to what he retracted it to, that the special, the qurb khas, the special closeness of Allah, ma'iyya khasa, and that is not befitting that it be for the disbelievers. بَلِ الْكَافِرُ عَدُوُّ اللَّهِ, a disbeliever is the enemy of Allah, Azza wa Jal, the mighty and majestic. لكن الراجحة, what is correct though, مختاره شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله, what was chosen by شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية, may Allah have mercy on him, أن المراد بالقرب هنا قرب الملائكة, that the intended meaning of the closeness in this verse is the closeness of the angels. أي أقرب إليه ملائكتنا, our angels are closer to him than his jugular vein. ثُمَّ اسْتَدَلَّ لِقَوْلِهِ بِقَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى, and then he, meaning Ibn Taymiyyah, used as a proof in his favor the statement of Allah, إِذْ يَتَلَقَّ الْمُتَلَقِّيَانِ, when the two receiving angels go to receive the soul, meaning at the time of death. That's the next verse, giving it context. That's the قُرْب of Allah, it is the قُرْب of His angels. فَإِذْ بِمَعْنَ حِينَ, the word إِذْ, at the time, it means hina. At that time, وَهِيَ مُتَعَلِّقَ بِالْقُرْبِ, it is connected to the time of closeness. أي أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ فِي هَذَا الْحَالِ, he's closer to him at this specific time. حِينَ يَتَلَقَّ الْمُتَلَقِّيَانِ عَنِ الْيَمِينِ وَعَنِ الشِّمَالِ قَعِيدٍ, when the two receiving angels sit on the right and the left in order to receive the soul. Now here's an interesting discussion, and that is correct, everything here regarding the position that is taken in finality or in the end of the discussion, it is correct, as you will see here, and he gives it its discussion so that you can be firm upon it. فَإِنْ قَالَ قَائِلٌ, if a person were to say, كَيْفَ يُلِيفُ اللَّهُ الْقُرْبَ الْمُسْنَدَ إِلَيْهِ وَالْمُرَادُ بِهِ الْمَلَائِكَةُ أَلِيْهَذَا نَظِيرٌ, how does Allah mention Himself saying, وَنَحْنُ, and we are closer to him, but the intended meaning is his angels. Are there examples of this in the Quran where a pronoun is used like nahnu and the reference is the angels? Qulna, we say in response to this question, na'am. We say, yes, there are examples. Lahu nadhir, there are examples of this. Yaqulullahu ta'ala li nabiyyihi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah says to his prophet, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace, لا تحرك به لسانك لتعجل به, do not move your tongue in haste, meaning in order to memorize the Quran. إن علينا جمعه وقرآنه, it is upon us to gather it and to recite it. Allah says it is upon us to gather it and to recite it to you. فإذا قرأناه, so when we read it to you, when we do the qira'ah to you, فَاتَّبِعْ قُرْآنَهُ, then follow after its qira'ah, its Qur'an. The word Qur'an means qira'ah, recitation. So follow after its recitation. The shahid here is, فَإِذَا قَرَأْنَاهُ, when we read it to you. Ahl al-Sunnah as a body of scholars throughout history have never affirmed qira'ah as an action of Allah. Qira'ah. They don't say Allah yaqra, Allah recites. They say Allahu yatakallam, Allahu yaqulu, Allahu yunazzil, Allah reveals, Allah yuhi, He sends revelation, Allah speaks. and so on, but they don't say Allahu yaqra'u al-Qur'an. Allah reads the Qur'an or recites the Qur'an. While Allah says in this verse, فَإِذَا قَرَأْنَاهُ, when we recite it. What's the meaning of we recite it? When Jibreel recites it. This is the example he's giving you of when Allah says we do something, but he means the angels. Now you might be saying that still sounds far off. It still sounds far off. We have more to support this. He says here, قَرَأْنَاهُ الْمَرَادُ بِذَلِكَ جِبْرِيلُ. The intended meaning of قَرَأْنَاهُ, we read it, it's Jibreel's reading. وَنَسَأَبَ اللَّهُ فِعْلَ جِبْرِيلَ إِلَى نَفْسِهِ. However, Allah Ta'ala has attributed the action of Jibreel to himself. لِأَنَّهُ رَسُولُهُ. Because Jibreel is his messenger enacting his order. كَذَلِكَ الْمَلَائِكَةُ. And likewise the angels. نَسَأَبَ اللَّهُ قُرْبَهُمْ إِلَيْهِ لِأَنَّهُمْ رَسُولُهُ. So likewise in these verses in Surah Qaf, the closeness of the angels has been mentioned as Allah's closeness because they are His messengers. كَمَا قَالَ تَعَالَى, as Allah the Most High has said, أَمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّا لَا نَسْمَعُ سِرَّهُمْ وَنَجْوَاهُمْ. Do they assume that we don't hear their secret talk and their counsel? بَلَا وَرُسُلُنَا لَدَيْهِمْ يَكْتُبُونَ. Nay, our messengers are with them, writing down. That's from Surah Az-Zukhruf, the 80th verse. وَمَخْتَارَهُ شَيْخُ الْإِسْلَامِ رَحِيمُهُ اللَّهُ وَالصَّوَابِ. And what Shaykh al-Islam has chosen as the tafsir is correct. And just before reading this, I want to support what's being said here with a couple of examples, inshallah, that'll make it easier to you. In Arabic, there's something called نِسْبَةُ الْأَمْرِ إِلَى آمِرِهِ. I'll ask you this question here and it'll become clear. Who gathered the Qur'an? Who was the first person to gather the Qur'an into one mushaf? Uthman. It was before Uthman. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, radiyallahu anhu. Abu Bakr, the first Khalifa, he gathered the Qur'an. And it's been said about Abu Bakr from his great accomplishments in his khilafah was what? Jam'ul Qur'an. The gathering of the Qur'an into one written mushaf. Why didn't it happen in the time of the Prophet? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was still coming down. You can't gather it into one book and there's another verse without a word processor, copying, pasting, written book that's actually written. How much effort there is in that? It's so much, right? Then one more verse comes down that has to go in the middle somewhere. And that would be something very difficult or very impossible basically, with the revelation still coming down. So with the death of the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there comes the first possible opportunity of making the Qur'an one book, because now no more verses are coming down. What we have is the Qur'an from beginning to end. The messenger has passed. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This answers a question that some people of confusion have. Like, why was this only done after the death of the Prophet? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was done by the Khulafa al-Rashideen. So it is the deen of Allah. Follow my sunnah and the sunnah of the Khulafa al-Rashideen al-Mahdiyeen. We say Abu Bakr did it, but Abu Bakr didn't do the actual gathering. He's the one who is in charge of the Muslims who did it. Who sat in the masjid day after day and collected the pages and listened to the recitation? Zayd ibn Thabit. So Zayd ibn Thabit sat in the masjid and collected the pages and heard the recitations of the people. With every passage that he heard and compiled from every person, it had to be written and recited from memory. Both. For it to be considered Qur'an and for it to be there. And of course, he was a memorizer of the Qur'an and many of the Sahaba were memorizers of the Qur'an. It's been said that 70 of them died in the Battle of Yamama, the time of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, fighting against the apostates. 70 of them died. 70 of them that had memorized the whole Qur'an. That was the fear of now we need to make sure that it's written down in a book from beginning to end before the people who have memorized it from beginning to end precisely before we lose all of them. So at that time there was the need and they fulfilled the need. Here's the shahid though. We attribute the action of doing it to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, but he didn't physically do it. He ordered that it be done. He ordered that it be done. Don't you say, if someone came to your house and you told your children, go get him a drink. Go get him a plate of food. Go get him an orange. Go get him some nuts and some snacks. Go get him this. Don't you say after all of that is done, I hosted him and I fed him and I gave him something to drink? because you're the one who told the people under your authority to go get this and go get that. You are the one essentially who has provided the food. But you maybe have sat there in your majlis and told your children to go and do this and do that. Get this and put it in front of the guest and so on. You may have not done anything. But you're the one who gets credit for doing it because you are the person in authority who orders it. This works in English from this angle. And this is clearly an established thing in Arabic. So Abu Bakr, أَوَّلُ مَنْ جَمَعَ الْقُرْآنِ بِنَصَّ الصَّحَابَ. They said Abu Bakr was the first one who gathered the Qur'an into one book. He ordered that it be done. So if that's established in the language, then we say, فَإِذَا قَرَأْنَاهُ فَاتَّبِعْ قُرْآنَ. Allah ordered Jibreel to read the Qur'an. Allah sent Jibreel with this order. So therefore it's okay and it's easy for us to understand that the same Arabic language is being used in the Qur'an. And Allah could attribute something to Himself because He is Al-Amir. He is the one who ordered that thing to take place. And Allah Ta'ala knows best. The last point here, فَإِذَا قَالَ قَائِلٌ. If a person were to say, وَهَلِ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى قَرِيبٌ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِ عَلَى كُلِّ حَالٍ. Is Allah Ta'ala close to the believer in all situations? قُلْنَا بَلْ فِي بَعْضِ الْأَحْوَالِ. Then we say in response to that, in some circumstances, قَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. The Prophet, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace, said, إِنَّ الَّذِي تَدْعُونَهُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَى أَحَدِكُمْ مِنْ عُنُقِ رَاحِلَتِهِ. As is collected by Imam Muslim in his Sahih, verily the one you are calling upon is closer to you than the neck of his own riding beast. This was said to some of the companions who made a takbir out loud. They were saying as they would rise up to the mountains, through the mountains, Allahu Akbar. They would make dhikr very loud. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam told them to make statements of dhikr to themselves. Why? Because the one you are calling upon is closer to you than the neck of your own riding beast. فَهَذَا قُرْبٌ. This kind of closeness though, فِي حَالِ الدُّعَاء, is at the time of the dua. This is the closeness of what? As-sam'u wal-qabulu. Hearing and responding to your supplication. مِصْدَاقُ ذَلِكَ قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى. And that is something that has been confirmed in the book of Allah with the statement of Allah Ta'ala, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. And when my servants ask you about me, then I am close. أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَاعَان. I respond to the supplication of every supplicant when he calls upon me. From Surah Al-Baqarah. Notice in that ayah, very beautiful balagha point. When they ask you, O Muhammad, about me, إِذَا سَأَلَكَ يَا مُحَمَّدْ. O Muhammad, أَيْبَادِي. When my servants ask you, عَنِّي, about me, فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. He didn't say, فَقُلْ إِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. He said, فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. Without him as an intermediary, then Allah is close to you. Subhanallah. That expression is amazing and powerful. كَذَلِكَ هُوَ قَرِيبٌ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِ فِي حَالِ السُّجُودِ. And likewise, Allah is close to the believer in every sujood, in every prostration. لِقَوْلِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. Due to the statement of the Prophet, may Allah raise his rank and grant him and his family peace. أَقْرَبُ مَا يَكُونُ الْعَبْدُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ وَهُوَ سَاجِدٌ. The hadith means, the closest that a servant comes to his Lord is when he is in prostration. And the hadith was collected by Imam Muslim in his Sahih. And then the Shaykh says, وَعَلَى هَذَا. Based on this, فَيَكُونُ الْمُؤْمِنُ قَرِيبًا مِنَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. That a believer is close to Allah the Most High, حَالَ عِبَادَتِهِ لِرَبِّهِ. At the time when he worships his Lord. وَحَالَ دُعَائِهِ لِرَبِّهِ. And at the time when he is calling upon his Lord. أَمَّا الْقُرْبُ الْعَامِ. As for the general closeness, فَإِنَّ الْمُرَادَ بِهِ الْقُرْبُ بِالْمَلَائِكَةِ. Then that closeness is intended through the closeness of the angels, عَلَى الْقَوْلِ الرَّاجِحِ, according to the best understanding. And this ends our reading of the words of Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih al-Uthaymeen. May Allah Ta'ala have mercy upon him. Wa salli Allahumma wa sallim wa barik ala nabiyyana Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. And if there's a correction to an error I've made, or a question or comment on the topic, we can have it at this time. What about the closeness of Allah Ta'ala in the last third of every night? Allah descends in the last third of every night. He descends to the lowest heaven. There's a physical place mentioned, to the lowest heaven. Pay attention to the question because it's going to be intricate. And I want a good Salafi answer. How can Allah descend in the last third of every night when it's the last third of every night in one place all over the world at one time? Hit me. I mean, hit me. Thank you. The question is not permissible. Why is the question not permissible? Because the question began with how, kaif. Whose attribute are we talking about? Allah. So when I say how, right away the question is not permissible. Allah Ta'ala is close, He descends to the lowest heaven in the last third of every night, bila kaif, without asking how. People with rational ideas, they say, but on this side of the earth and that side of the earth, we say all of your conjecture and all of your problematic thinking right now, Allah is greater and above all of that. And He's the one who sent a messenger to tell us that He descends in the last third of the night to the lowest heaven. Affirm it and leave it alone. And asking, what about this side of the world and what about that side of the world? Is a question. If you notice, the question began with how. In Arabic, it's kaif. It's an innovation in the attributes of Allah for you to say kaif. It's very obvious if I said, how is the face of Allah? Describe the face of Allah to me. You're going to say, a'udhu billah. That's a kaif. You're asking for the specific details of the face of Allah. He affirmed a face for Himself and He has not given us the details. So we don't say kaif. It's very obvious asking how exactly is the face of Allah. That's clear, kaif. But when I said on one side of the world and the other side of the world about Allah's nuzul, you didn't connect it that it's actually a kaif question at first. It takes a little bit of, you know, nudging maybe to get to the understanding that that is a kaif question. That's a how question. And anytime we have an attribute of Allah, we say, we do not ask kaif. Right? That man came to Imam Malik. Here's our foundation. Came to Imam Malik. Ar-Rahmanu ala al-arsh istawa. Allah ascended above His throne. Kayf istawa? How did He ascend? So Imam Malik put his head down. For a long time, it's mentioned. Sweat began to pour down his face and he became reddened in his cheeks and everything. He became flustered. And he said, Al-istiwa'u ma'lum. Ascending is something known. Wal-kayfu majhul. And the details of how that happens is something incomprehensible. Because it's related to Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. Wal-imanu bihi wajib. Believing in it, affirming it as it is an obligation. Wa-su'alu anhu bid'a akhrijuhu. Right, it's an innovation to ask about it, get him out of the masjid because he's an innovator. Here's the real aqidah of the second generation of the Muslims. From an imam known for his devout following of the sunnah, an Imam Malik ibn Anas al-Asbahi, rahimahullah, Imam Dar al-Hijrah. His students were the children of the companions. Where's his aqidah from? The companions of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you say what the people before you have said, meaning the early companions and the tabi'een, and you stop where they have stopped. You suffice yourself with what sufficed them. His teachers were the children of the companions. If we said his teachers were the companions, then he would be a tabi'i. And he's not a tabi'i. So when I said, where is his aqidah from? It's from the companions. I mean through the children of the companions and the great scholars of the tabi'een of Al-Medina. In the same place where the dawla, you know, the government was, and the companions, the majority of the companions and their children were, right? In Al-Medina. That's what they call him, the Imam of Dar al-Hijra, the Imam of Medina. And he was early. He died in the year 179. He died in the year 179. He was born before the year 100. And he died in 179. So this early imam and his aqidah is clear. Why can't we hold on to this? Why can't we say about every attribute that comes, descending to the lowest heaven in the last third of every night. Well, if you descend to the lowest heaven, does that mean the other heavens are above you? If a man goes to the bottom floor of a building, aren't the other floors above him? Do you wish to understand your Lord and how a man goes up and down stairwells in a building? Is that how you wish to understand your Lord? Through temthil, through tashbih, through understanding the creation and then thinking about the creation, that's how you're going to understand your Lord? You know that's Babel Dalala, that's the door to misguidance right there. Thinking that I'm going to understand Allah as it relates to human beings. So Allah Ta'ala descends, and as the scholars mention, to refute this notion, that when He descends, He is above everything. That when He descends to the lowest heaven, He is still above the throne and He is still above His creation. How is that? Bid'ah. The question I'm asking is an innovation. How is that Allah descends and He's still above? Innovation. The question is an innovation. It's philosophy and rhetoric. The only way you answer that question is with Greek philosophy, rhetoric, rationale that is against the religion of Islam. And it's not the rational thinking with our intellects that Allah has encouraged us to do. It is not that. But rather, the rational thinking that we are encouraged to do in Islam is what? Thinking about al-makhluqat, the creation. Contemplate the universe. Contemplate the sun and the moon and the camel and the animals, the stars and all of that. Contemplate those things to come to amazing conclusions about the creator of those things. But don't contemplate about Allah's attributes. Affirm them as they are, according to what is understood from the language, as they've been brought to you through texts of revelation, and then remain silent about them after that. That's the aqidah of the Muslims of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and Allah Ta'ala knows best. Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdik ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.